Welcome to Sports the Podcast, the very first episode of a new venture in which I call some experts and we dissect what's happening in sports. Today's guest is Mark Zeke. Mark, why don't you introduce yourself?
How you doing, everyone? Glad to be here. Again, my name is Mark Zeke. You can find me on Twitter at ZEKE485. Hit me up with whatever. I love all sports, especially football. I'm a big draft guy. I've been dissecting it for months now, so I'm really excited to be on the podcast and give my opinions.
Thanks, Mark. And I guess I should mention that my name is Mike Lavery, and I will be the host of this podcast. And Mark is actually also joining us on sportswebsite.com to be one of our head football writers. Right now we're recording, the first round was yesterday. Right now the second round is going on. They're probably about halfway through the second round. And it's been a pretty exciting draft so far. Mark, what takeaway do you have so far?
Yeah, it definitely was an exciting draft. Obviously, you got to start with the first pick of Baker Mayfield. I think I only know of maybe one kind of popular sports football website that actually was saying that this was going to happen for months now. I think everybody was pretty surprised, even when it came out a couple of days ago, that the rumors started swirling. People were still saying, no, it's a smokescreen, don't believe it. And then he was taken number one. So right off the bat, we kind of had a shocker. Then going down, a lot of people that I thought would go in the top 10 fell a little later. We had a total of 8 trades in the first round too. So it was definitely exciting from beginning to end. Had me on the edge of my seat waiting to see what would happen. So overall, I thought it was a great first round. Maybe not for me as a Steeler fan, but overall, as just a football fan, I thought it was a great first round.
Yeah, and the way it started, to me, it started kind of slow. I expected a lot more trades in the top 10 or so, so I was a little surprised. It really picked up quick. And you're talking about Mayfield. What do you think Mayfield is going to be? Do you think he's going to live up to a number one overall pick?
See, I am kind of on the pro Mayfield side. I think he does have a chance to be good. I get the, you know, the conference he played in. I get the spread stuff, but I don't know. There's something about him that I like. I get why they took the pick. It's, you know, a culture thing. It's a attitude thing. I think they want to bring kind of that spark to Cleveland. And I know that he plays with a big chip on his shoulder. Walk on 2 separate colleges, you know, won the Heisman Trophy. And, you know, people doubted him, you know, his whole career. So I think they love that. I think they, you know, Cleveland is a town that respects, you know, hardworking people that kind of start from the bottom and work their way up. So I get it. And I'm on the, like I said, I'm about 60-40 that he's going to be good. So I'm not doubting it.
You were talking about the chip on his shoulder. Do you think being the first overall pick, it's going to affect that? He's still going to want to prove the naysayers wrong, right?
Yes. Yes. He has a lot of haters out there. So he even keeps like a log of it. He keeps like, since he goes back to like sixth grade, I think he said, and he has a list of all the people that, you know, told him he wouldn't amount to anything, and he looks at it occasionally, gets motivation from that. So I don't think it'll change his perspective, chip on his shoulder that he was taken number one. He still has plenty of haters to fuel him. So right now I'm going to lean towards he's going to surprise people.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway from the first round was just QB mania. We saw 5 QBs go in the first round. We saw Mayfield. We saw Donald go to the Jets. Josh Allen go to Buffalo. Josh Rosen go to Arizona. And Lamar Jackson go to Baltimore. If you were a GM and you had to pick a QB, if you were Cleveland, for instance, what QB would you have targeted?
I probably would have targeted Darnold. Just because I think he's the safest bet to be kind of, I'm not going to say he's going to be a top quarterback, but, you know, maybe that 8 to 15 range. Mm-hmm. I think he, you know, plus that, I really like that he can make plays, you know, kind of scrambling around. And when the pocket collapses, he has that kind of that magic aspect where, you know, duck a couple people, throw a bomb, make it happen. Aaron Rodgers has that. Ben Roethlisberger has that. Wentz has that. So I think if I had to pick number one, I would go with him because I think he's the safest bet to, you know, a good quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I like Darnold the most. He's got the best footwork. He's got accuracy. And I was really impressed. Like, the Jets, I don't know if it was they made a smart move or if they just got lucky that they made this deal over a month ago and still the person that they probably would have taken number one dropped into their lap at number three.
Yeah. And this is what I don't get about Jets fans. Like, remember, like, when the last season started, it was don't win so they could pick Darnold number one. Mm-hmm. It was like they were mad. Jets fans were mad they were winning. Mm-hmm. And now they get Darnold and they're mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't get it. So I think they got lucky. He fell to them. And I think he's going to be good there. I really do.
So who do you think, like, played the perfect first round, given what they had to work with?
I really like what Arizona did with Josh Rosen. They really didn't have to give up too much, and they got their starter of the future, which they desperately needed. They got him at pick 10, so they didn't have to, you know, give a big haul in, like, a next year first round to move up into the top five. They got a guy that a lot of people think is actually going to be the best quarterback. They think he's the most NFL-ready right now. So I think Arizona, they did have to trade up, but they didn't give up too much to get a potential franchise quarterback. So I think they played it perfect.
What do you put towards chemistry when it comes to a QB? Do you think, how much does that matter in your eyes?
I think it definitely matters. You have to have the team behind you, even if the other people. That's another thing about Mayfield, too, which I like. Like, he, like, 31 teams are going to probably hate this guy because, you know, he's going to say it how it is and go on the field and fight. But his teammates are probably going to love him because they know he's going on the, you know, the battlefield and fighting for them. And I think from what I heard, Rosen is the same way. He might rub people the wrong way, but as far as the team goes, I think that if he gets in there, he works hard. Obviously, people are going to be suspicious. They hear everything we hear, so they're going to be suspicious at first. But I think if he shows up, he works hard, he shows that he has their backs, I think that'll be fine. But I do think chemistry is big, especially on offense.
What do you think about what the Packers did? They traded down and then traded up. So they, in the long run, they traded down four picks, gave up some middle-round picks, and got a first-round pick from the Saints next year. And they got a cornerback. And actually, they just drafted in the second round. They drafted a second quarterback, cornerback. They got Josh Jackson, too.
Yeah, I've seen that. So they nailed it. The Saints, for whatever reason, I think they think that that's the missing piece that's going to win them the Super Bowl. So I respect them in the fact that they're going for it, but to give up, it just, to my opinion, just wasn't the right player to give, you know, this, obviously the first round move up, and then next year's first round, if it was somebody like Chubb,
mm-hmm.
that's a different story. But somebody like Marcus Davenport, who has, I guess, the tools, but look at where he played, and he's, you know, people are mixed on him. He's not a surefire thing. So to kind of go all in like that, and a guy that's may not be that big of a contributor next year, maybe in the long run, just, I don't know. It just didn't make sense to me. And the Packers nailed it.
If you give up a first this year and a first next year for a non-quarterback, it better be a Hall of Famer. It better be Jason Taylor or J.J. Watt.
Yeah, that exactly right. You need to know this guy's going to come in on day one and be an instant difference maker, and I just don't see that with Marcus Davenport. I just really don't.
And when they traded up, everyone said Lamar Jackson's the pick here. Like, you thought it was going to be a quarterback, and he would be, and I think anywhere he goes, he's going to be polarizing, but it's also going to be, like, so much hype that it's going to get the fan base so into it.
Yeah, Mayock was, I was watching the NFL Network. I know it's on like three different channels now, but Mayock was saying it's going to be Lamar Jackson, and it was Davenport. I was like, what? You know, I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Didn't see that one coming. So yeah, you're right. I think everybody was kind of just shocked with that one, and then when they saw the what they gave up, it just, I don't know, just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and we saw actually a lot of teams past Jackson that we thought could have made a move looking for a quarterback. The Patriots were linked to him, and they just brought him in for an interview recently, and they've passed on him twice. And then finally, with the 32nd pick, the Ravens traded back up, even though they passed on him the first time. They drafted a tight end who was a little older. I think he's turning 25 soon. He played minor league baseball. They drafted him over Lamar Jackson, and then when he was still available at 32, they traded up to get him. What do you think he is going to do in Baltimore? What do you think he stands with them? I mean, they brought in RG3 as a backup too, so maybe they want to move more towards a athletic offensive game plan.
Yeah, and that's a great way to look at it. If Baltimore is ready to do a complete kind of system overhaul where they build this offensive philosophy around what he does, I think he could be successful. But if they expect him to go in there and you don't kind of run their offense around what he does best, I think he's going to fail. So, like you said, with bringing in RG3, you could kind of see that they kind of had this plan going. Bring him in, you know, kind of start mapping the offense around him, and then maybe you'll see halfway through the year they bring him in and give him a shot to start. So if they're willing to change their offensive philosophy, then I think he has a chance to be successful.
What do you think is most likely to keep him from succeeding? Do you think it's coaching?
Yes, it's coaching. Let's not forget that the Ravens aren't exactly the offensive juggernaut as far as weapons go. The wide receiving core is, in my opinion, the worst in the NFL. They did get Hayden Hurst, the tight end. So, you know, that's a nice safety blanket, I guess you could say, to kind of develop with Jackson. But coaching, and, you know, you got to give this guy some playmakers, especially a deep threat, because he could definitely sling the ball.
So who do you think had the worst first round of the draft?
I have three. The Saints, obviously, you know, we mentioned earlier the trade up for a guy that Marcus Davenport, who, you know, we'll see. You know, maybe they see something and maybe he is going to be a star, but right now I just don't see it. Seattle with the running back Penny pick, just don't understand. I know they don't have a lot of picks, so maybe, I mean, if they really love this guy, but they could have traded back and got him, mm-hmm. you know, in the second, maybe even third round.
And you think the fact that they don't have picks would make it less likely that they would draft a running back? Because we've seen teams be able to find running backs all over the place. So
oh, yeah.
You got to, you know, take value out of that pick.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was definitely a head-scratcher. So thankfully they picked that, because then the other team, unfortunately, I think is the Steelers. I just don't understand why they continually draft these, you know, superb athletes, don't get me wrong, who really don't know how to play football yet. I mean, yeah, they could run a 4.47, they could bench press, they have all the athletic gifts, but do they know how to play football? And we get these guys, they're projects, 3-4 years from now, they're something, maybe, and then, you know, their contract is up, and maybe they go, or maybe we sign them, but for the first 2 to 4 years, we're developing them, when we're I'm trying to win now. I mean, Ben's 36, this is definitely going to be, in my opinion, Le'Veon Bell's last year. Antonio Brown ain't getting any younger. We traded Martavis Bryant. Yeah, so, I mean, we got to win. We got to try to go for it now. So that's the other reason why I respect a team like the Saints, even though I don't agree with it. At least they're going for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where Pittsburgh's doing the opposite. They're getting these project guys. And just like Bud Dupree, it's the same thing. Super athletic, but what has he done? Really nothing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Were you happy with the return that they did for the Bryant trade?
Yeah. I think I was expecting the most we could get was maybe a fourth. So to see a third round, I think it was a fair trade.
So even if you didn't like the draft pick, at least seeing Shazier come out, that was really like inspirational. It was like, for everyone, no one in the NFL can hate on that. That was like really awesome to watch.
Yeah, that was, I didn't expect it. I guess it leaked, but I don't know. I must have been looking at other stuff. I missed it. But so when I saw that, I was, you know, definitely, you know, choked you up a little. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you've been seeing him in stand up and, you know, unfortunately in the wheelchair, you know, going to like Penguins games and Pirates games, things like that. So to see him walk across that stage to give that pick was definitely a great moment.
Yeah. And we talked about the Saints. That was one of the two teams that I thought really dropped the ball. The other one was the Browns. I know that you like Mayfield, and it's not that I don't like him. It's that the value that they used of these picks, both Mayfield and Ward, they could have gotten more value out of those picks and traded down a little bit. Ward, I saw anywhere between 8 and 12, and they took him at 4. And Mayfield, I guess he wouldn't have got past the Jets unless Darnold was still there, so it depend who the Browns traded with. But I just feel like they had draft in their hands, and they got the guys they wanted, so good for them. This could have, I feel like they could have gotten more value out of it and come away with more than that.
Yeah, I agree. I think they could have got maybe a little more leeway on the Mayfield pick if they took Chubb at 4. You know, Denzel Ward, good player, definitely, you know, one of the highest ranked corners in the draft. But I agree, they could have traded back. I think as long as they got in front of, well, the Raiders ended up trading, but I think if they got between that 8 to 10 range, maybe 8 to 11, they could have got Ward and got more picks. So I agree. I think they kind of jumped the gun on this one, but they're sticking with whatever plan they have. They're sticking with it, because even the first pick in the second round, I was kind of shocked by that one too. They could have took Landry, but they took a guard, Austin Corbett, out of Nevada. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody saw that high. So whatever plan they have, or whatever scouting they have, they're sticking with it, and we'll see what they're made of. But that was a very surprising pick to me.
Man, the Eagles just took another. They took Dallas Gobert, or however you say his name, Gobert.
Did they?
Yeah, I was like really pumped, and I can't believe he's going to the Eagles. Like, they need any more offensive weapons.
The rich get richer, man.
Yeah. So what were your favorite picks of the first round?
I really, really, I can't believe Derwin James fell to 17 to San Diego. I mean, that unless there's something I'm missing on this mm-hmm. guy, but I think he's gonna be an absolute star. And their defense is already developing to one of the best. So to get a guy like that could play multiple positions, really a hybrid guy, I thought that was an absolute steal. And I really like the Frank Ragnow, Detroit, the center. They desperately need a center. And I think this guy is going to be, from day one, really show up there and give that line a whole new presence. So a couple of picks. I like the Evans. I like Titans trainer for Evans. I thought that was a good pick. So there was a lot of good ones. Even at the one I really liked, and it pains me to say it, but when Jacksonville got Taven Bryan, I mean, that defense is literally going to eat people.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you think that Jacksonville would have been a great candidate for Lamar Jackson, though? First of all, let's not even get into Bortles, but like, just adding a team already is established as a great D, and just having a QB who can create, even if he's not as accurate as some other QBs right now, like, just putting him in that offensive lineup, I feel like they're already in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, with that defense, and to have a guy able to come in that can make, you know, plays with his legs, extend, get some additional first downs, keep. I agree. I think that Lamar Jackson to Jacksonville would have been a good pick. I was kind of surprised that they – I was expecting that. I was kind of surprised when they didn't. But I think just when they saw Bryan there, it was just too good to pass up. Their defense is already the best in the league, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, top three, definitely. So to get a guy like this that all he wants to do is just eat people, and that rotation, their defense is going to be unstoppable. It really is.
I think one guy that we both liked was Quentin Nelson, and in fact, we saw a lot of interior offensive line go pretty early. The Colts took a guard in the second round, too, but from what I hear, people say he's the best run-blocking guard in 20 years, something like, Luck has not had anyone to keep him upright the whole time he's been there, so I think that was an amazing pick, even if it was like one of the highest guards we've ever seen get taken at number 6. It's going to make a huge difference, I think.
Quentin Nelson has the potential to be one of the best guards in the league in a couple of years. He's going to be that good. I'm glad they went with that pick. I hope Luck comes back, and they need to protect Luck when he comes back. They cannot go through this process again. So to get a guy like Quentin Nelson, and then like you said, they got, I have a mark down here in the second round, Brandon Smith guard. So, I mean, you could tell what their plan is. They want to protect the franchise, which they haven't done in the past. And they're gonna. Mm-hmm. With these two picks, I mean, they're gonna. Quentin Nelson could easily be an all-pro by year two and potential to anchor that offensive line for a decade. So I agree. That was a great pick. A lot of people said he was the best player in this, you know, in this whole draft. So they to get him at 6, even though, like you said, he's a guard, he's a line-changing guard and game-changing guard. And it was a great pick.
Yeah, I can't even think of the last time that someone took guards with each of their first two picks, and everyone was like, yeah, good move. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a long time coming. I know they took a couple offensive linemen here and there, but they kind of just relied on Luck to scramble or just get up. Mm-hmm. You know, you get hit and get up, and he didn't get up this last time, and he's been out, missed all last season. He still hasn't thrown. They had their veteran mini camp, and he still didn't throw there, so hopefully he comes back, and at least hopefully it's not a little too late, but it looks like they're learning their lesson finally.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've both talked about our least favorite pick was Penny for Seattle. So what team do you think did the worst to improve their current predicament?
I think Miami. I really expected Miami to take a quarterback.
And I couldn't believe Mason Rudolph didn't get taken by them in the second round.
Yeah, I don't understand what they're doing. I don't know what they see. His name is escaping me. What's the quarterback in Miami?
Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill, yeah. I don't know what they see in this guy to make them think that he's a franchise guy or going to lead them to – it's all about winning a Super Bowl. I don't know what they see in him to make them think that, to skip a quarterback in a draft that's loaded with quarterbacks, especially right around where they were picking. They could have easily traded up and got any of these guys, at least Rosen. You know what I mean? So I was really shocked. And Micah Fitzpatrick is going to be a good player. Mm-hmm. He is, but I just don't understand why they didn't take or try to take a quarterback. I don't get it.
And in the second round, they took Mike Gesicki, the tight end, who is very exciting, but he's a luxury pick.
Yeah.
Someone shouldn't draft him if they're not ready to compete. Like they need quarterbacks somewhere in the draft, and maybe we'll see them take someone late that they really like, but yeah, I'm with you. I was really surprised they did not help their QB situation.
Yeah, I don't know what Gase's status is as far as job security, but I wouldn't be shocked if this is his last year in Miami. I really wouldn't.
So then who made the most drastic change then, do you think?
Well, I have to – I really like – if Josh Allen could be special, if he could prove the haters wrong and – come in there, work, and be a good quarterback, and then they get, you know, the linebacker Edmonds, who I know he's going to be good. Kid's 19 years old. He's an absolute beast. And at linebacker, I think you're changing your whole offense and your whole defense in the first round.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it depends on Allen, but, you know, that could be a game changer if they hit on him.
I think they were the team that impressed me most between moving up. They moved up twice, you know. They took Edmonds and they took Allen. And both times they refused to give up both first-rounders, and both times they didn't. They still gave up two first-rounders to take Allen, but he's a quarterback. And he probably has the best arm in the draft, whether you can put it all together. He's got the physical skills.
In that division, you know, the cold weather gets nasty up there in, you know, November, December, so get it. Like, I get why they took him, and if it works out, it's a home run.
And obviously the Patriots have a quarterback. We saw the Jets trade up and take a quarterback. And we expected Miami to take a quarterback, so the Bills, they have to keep up.
Yeah, and I'm actually happy because, like I've been saying, like, how could this division let the Patriots for 10 years just dominate? Mm-hmm. And it looks like maybe they're waking up a little bit, except Miami. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what the Bills did, the Jets got their guys. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe the tide's changing and, you know, it'll be more competitive.
What player do you think will shine best with their new team?
We mentioned it before, but Quentin Nelson, he's going to come in, just instant line change. I think Frank Ragnow from Detroit is going to change that whole line. I know they're not most exciting picks, but I really like those. Derwin James, San Diego, again, like I said. Rashad Evans for the Titans, I think they play a similar defense to the Steelers, and I think that was a home run pick for them. I think he's going to be great in the instant, you know, defensive player of the year candidate, because he's going to be all over the field from day one.
It's funny, when you mention Evans, there was a lot of talk about him and Ragnow both being targets for the Patriots at 23, and both those teams are coached by former Patriots coached in the Patriots, and they both traded up to take them before the Patriots could, which is like...
Absolutely.
I wrote an article today about draft Schadenfreude, and that was definitely something where, like, just seeing them punk the Patriots is just, like, funny. It's, like, something I enjoyed. I think, in my opinion... One of my favorite stories about the draft was just the trade that the Jets made. I talked about it earlier, but it was just so ballsy, and I can't believe it paid off, especially when it's the Jets. Like, when I heard people talk about Mayfield, and it was the Browns and the Jets, I was really hoping he was going to drop to New York, because, you know, I'm not a huge fan of him, but I do feel like they traded, and they only get some seconds, and they might have ended up with a franchise quarterback, which they haven't had since, I don't know, Joe Namath.
Yep. Yeah. We might be looking back and saying, can you believe the Jets only gave up this for Darnold? Can you believe that Arizona gave up this for Rosen? I could 100% see that and be like, how did they get away with that? So, yeah, I agree. I mean, they went for it, and it worked out well for them. They got, you know, they got Sam Darnold. So, it was a good trade, and it worked out good.
Yeah, so who do you think was the best value pick in the draft?
It's a tough one, but I'm definitely going to go Derwin James.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I even wrote up when I did my mock draft, I think this guy is going to be great in the NFL. I think he fits the kind of the style that the defenses are going, where you could kind of play a guy any which way, hybrid defenses, play tight ends, he could play slot, he could rush the quarterback. So to get him at 17, when I really thought he was he wouldn't slide past. Well, I didn't think he'd slide past Tampa Bay, so they passed on him. So to get him at 17, San Diego, I thought that was the big, best value pick.
Yeah, and a lot of people said, everyone said he was in the top seven. A lot of people said he might have been the best defensive player in the draft, maybe Chubb, but he was definitely the best defensive back in the draft. And everyone had him linked to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay traded down at 12, and they still passed on him.
Yeah, so I don't. It's got to be maybe a character thing or something that we don't know. I don't know if he, how he did on his interviews and things like that. But that's the only thing I could think of, because if it's definitely not on field stuff or potential.
Who are you looking forward to that's still on the board? I mean, I guess a lot has happened since we started recording, but theoretically, before we started recording, who are you looking forward to getting drafted day two?
I was definitely looking forward to see where Geis went. I mean, a lot of people think he's a day one game changer as far as running back position goes. So whatever team gets him.
And it looks like he's still on the board.
He's still on the board. So I think that is definitely a character thing, because did you hear about that? He said that like a team asked him a question or something, and then they found out that he was lying about it. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And then Harold Landry, I was looking forward to, but I think he went to...
Yeah, he went to the Titans, which I thought is a great spot for him.
There you go. I mean, the Titans, they know what they want. The Titans are having the draft, as a Steeler fan, that I wish the Steelers had right now.
Mm-hmm.
They got the inside linebacker, middle linebacker, and they got the edge rusher. And so they're nailing it.
I could see Landry being a Vrabel clone almost, too, yeah. Where like he does kind of the dirty work and kind of gets it all done. There's some people that I was really excited about. Most of them got taken. Mason Rudolph's still on the board, but I was surprised to see Cortland Sutton go to the Broncos. Do you think that is their planning replacement for Demaryius Thomas?
Yeah, that's definitely, he has the same kind of physical stats as him, big tall guy, great red zone guy. So yeah, I think that is definitely a pick for the future. Don't be surprised if they trade him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they trade Thomas. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah. I guess my last question is, if there's anything from day two on that your Steelers could do to make you happier, what would it be?
We got to get I want whatever the best inside middle linebacker is left in round two by the time our pick comes, I want us to take them. I want us to take them. We cannot go into this season with John Bostic, which I like the signing. I think he's a good depth guy. We cannot go into the season with Vince William and John Bostic in the middle, and that's literally it. And then a bunch of guys who are, like I said, good depth guys, rotation guys every now and then, but we have to get an inside linebacker. So I was trying to think, that kid from Texas, did he go yet? Malik Jefferson?
No, I don't know.
Because if he's there, we take him, because I think
he's still on the board.
Okay, so hopefully...
Steelers are four picks away. Patriots are on the clock.
Yeah, this is where the Patriots take Malik Jefferson and just put me into a deep depression.
They're probably going to trade it. They've already traded out of the second twice since
really?
He's been on the call. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my hope. Definitely go wide receiver in the third. I'd be okay with running back in the third. I know we have two third-round picks now, so I'd be okay with running back receiver in the third. But in this second round, we got to go for whatever the best available inside middle linebackers got to.
All right, so Mark Zeke, thanks for joining me. Football writer from sportsthewebsite.com. Do you have anything that you're working on or anything you want to plug, or where can people find you?
I'm going to wait till the whole draft's over, because I want to look at the big picture. But I'm definitely going to do a best worst and kind of give grades for each team. So I'm definitely taking my notes. I'm working on that, so that'll be coming out after the draft is over, all seven rounds. You can find me, like I said, on Twitter at ZEKE485. Hit me up, ask me anything, any discussions, not just football, all sports, but especially football. So, yeah.
All right, thanks, Mark, and thank you for being the first guest on Sports the Podcast. Thank you for listening, and subscribe, listen, rate, review, all that good stuff.